And we're back here on Out of the Woods. Gabrielle Louise is our guest this week. And she's got another one all lined up for you. I think she's going to tell you about it right now.
Yeah, well, this is a song that I didn't write. It's written by a songwriter from Albuquerque, New Mexico, named Justin Evan Thompson. And I just really liked it. I thought it had great lyrics and a really memorable melody. And he actually won a second place in a political songwriting contest on a radio program called Art of the Song for this song.
It's just a matter of time. We'll sing a million man song. 'Cause you can't fool a good man. You can't fool a good man very long. I see the fat man in the golden suit. He's telling young men they're born to lose. Digging trenches in the land in between each every man. But I see the fat man in the golden suit. And I hear the lying man on the radio. Well, I see amber waves of smoke. We all have hate leaking from our ears. It's just a matter of time. We'll sing a million man song. 'Cause you can't fool a good man. You can't fool a good man very long. Well, I hear the holy man clear his throat and speak his fire and brimstone mind. I see greed and apathy. Well, I see wealth and poverty. I see oppression, I see slavery. No one in the streets except the people who are living there. It's just a matter of time. We'll sing a million man songs. Seen enough of the truth to curdle their blood, they will lace up their boots and their arrows will be true, aimed at the fat man in the golden suit, aimed at the fat man in the golden suit, aimed at the fat man in the golden suit.
Gabrielle Louise, once again for you here on Out of the Woods. Who did you say wrote that one?
His name is Justin Evan Thompson.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, I like that. Neat stuff. You have an album out you should probably tell folks about right now.
That, yeah.
Came out a few months ago.
Yeah.
Actually, about halfway through 2016, I guess.
Yeah, September 30th it came out. It's called If the Static Clears. Most of the tracks that I played earlier are off of that record. And yeah, I was really pleased. I worked pretty hard on it. I worked very hard on it, actually. I recorded it in a recording studio in Union City, New Jersey, just across the Hudson from New York City, and used a team of people that I'd been playing with for almost a decade. A musician named David Cade played all the lead instruments, and he and I went to Berklee College of Music together in Boston. And the engineer, Tim Mitchell, he and I also met in Boston. And so there was this wonderful sense of camaraderie in the studio, and just it was the product of many years of growth. Of my relationships with these collaborators, and so I'm very proud of the way it turned out.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, that was my introduction to your music, actually, and you brought along your previous one for us, so we'll be checking that out too. But one thing that's neat is the photo you have on here. Looks like the old Civil War photography.
It is, yeah, it is. It's a tintype photo. I worked with photographer Mark Sink from Denver, Colorado, and we sat together for, I think it was about 6 hours, and we only took 8 photographs because each one he had to develop immediately after taking it. And you have to sit very still, as you probably know, which is right. Why people look so serious in those Civil War era photographs, which is why, in fact, I look so serious in the photograph. But because the exposure is a long exposure, it takes a lot of time to kind of get what's going on in the eyes. And so I think Civil War era photography has a nice presence in the eyes because it's capturing several seconds of thought, I think. So I was really attracted to that quality of it and very, very flattered to work with Mark Sink. He's a well-established photographer in Colorado.
Yeah, very unforgiving format.
Yeah, you can't smile or twitch at all.
Yeah, it makes a lot of folks look, I don't know, almost creepy. You know,
ghostly. Yeah.
Ghostly. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you see some of the real early ones of cityscapes and there's actually people in the pictures, but they look like ghosts because they're moving around and there's little wisps of black everywhere. And
it's tracers.
It's really cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Neat stuff. Yeah. So pick that one up and you can probably get that directly from you.
Yeah, you can get both of my records from my website. My 2013 release is published with a book of short stories and poems. And so it comes in a larger case, a little more expensive for me to print. So it's a little more expensive to buy that one, but really proud of that one as well. All of the stories and poems were written at the same time as the songs. And so they kind of shed further light into what it's like to be a traveling troubadour in this day and age.
And your website is your name?
Yep, GabrielleLouise.com.
There you go. And that's GabrielleLouise.
Fabulous, that's
Yay.
It.
Yay!
Woo!
Yeah, yeah,
cheers.
.com. All right, well, I guess maybe we'll get you to play another one.
Sure thing. Well, another one from the record, since we're talking about kind of spooky things, why don't I play Graveyard Ballet? This is a song that was inspired by my parents' relationships. They were performance partners. They had a musical duo called Los Dos for many years. And when my father passed away four years ago now, my mom was definitely in a state of shock and in mourning. They'd been life partners. They'd had a tumultuous relationship, but loved each other so deeply. And I, at the time, was still spending some time in South America and wandering around these cemeteries that have so much life and beauty and thought and care put into them in Buenos Aires. There are small mausoleums in many of them, which are like tiny little homes for the graves that are tended continuously by the family members after a person passes away. And beautiful botany that's constantly maintained. And so Chacarita and Recoleta both kind of, I think, informed the mood of this song. And it isn't my parents strictly, per se, that's in this song. I think that just inspired the relationship that's on display. But it's about a widowed ballerina, and she goes and visits the cemetery at night. And the natural phenomenon that's taking place, the wind and the leaves and just the moon coming down, filtering through the trees, starts to remind her of the stage, and it stimulates her memory, and she remembers performing with her performance partner.
She moves through the crowded streets, satin slippers on her feet. Comes every Sunday, brings a bouquet, slipping through the iron gate, the dying day rests in golden rays. Falling down the aisles to a seat that is saved, with her name for the Graveyard Ballet, the Graveyard Ballet. Tonight they are dancing in the Graveyard Ballet, the Graveyard Ballet, the Graveyard Ballet. Tonight they are dancing in the Graveyard Ballet. patter of a passing breeze falls to the hush of remembering. Now every set without him, built of paper mache, the night conducts a melody, a symphony stirs in the leaves. She can feel him lift her by the waist when the shadows play.
Very spooky. I love that one. Yeah, we played that on our Halloween show this year. Yeah,
real Thank nice. You.
Yeah, yeah. Gabriel Louise is with us here on Out of the Woods and talking about this and that. What else you've got going on here? I heard mentioned that you're also a public speaker from time to time.
On occasion, by invitation only. I mean, certainly speaking in shows is a major part of what you do, I think, as a songwriter. It's pretty important, I think, to include your audience into the backstory. So that happens all the time. But without music, I had the pleasure of giving a TEDx talk presentation last February. And I presented a speech that talked about creativity, and it talked about autobiographical writing and the therapeutic benefits of taking time to do that every day.
Very cool. I could never do that.
It was quite a feat to memorize 18 minutes of monologue, but I was pleased I did.
I have to hide behind microphones in dark spaces.
And you can check out that talk is on my website still.
So, oh, cool. Yeah. I have not checked that out. I did get a list of a few interesting items from somebody. A little bird told me about a few things. So, yeah, very cool.
Nice. I could, if you like, play the song that I opened up that speech with. It's a song called Breathe Easy, and it's about taking time to be alone so that you can be creative, but then balancing that with romance. And to that end, it also speaks to this idea that it's best maybe not to smother the most wonderful qualities out of our partnerships, but to give them a little bit of space so that they can breathe and they can flourish.
There's a way the soul now speaks to me. There's a way the floorboards groan. There's a comfort in the quiet I keep when I'm alone. But I spend half my time just wondering what's behind your pretty blue eyes. You give me prickles and pains all over my skin with your Saturday smile. I'm not asking to settle down. You can come and go as you please. Inside your kiss, I drown. I drown and I breathe. Breathe and I drown. Drown and I breathe, breathe and I drown. Gobind Desert, there's a warm and reverent glow, a strength and a sorrow in the way the shadows grow. And it feels just fine not to need you tonight. I'm just doing my thing. When you come back by, I'm gonna treat you like you're my centerpiece. My centerpiece. I'm not asking to settle down. You can come and go as you please. Inside your kiss I drown. I drown and I breathe. Breathe and I drown. I drown and I breathe. Breathe and I drown.
Gabrielle Louise, for you here on Out of the Woods. Very nice.
Thank you.
Very, very nice. So, trying to think of what I was going to ask you next. I asked you about tour dates, and you have a nice, relaxing time coming.
Yeah, looking forward to that for sure. Well, I'd like to say a quick thank you to my Kickstarter donors. The new CD came out because of the extreme generosity of a lot of people. I raised $13,500 to put the record out. And so I've been just shouting out my gratitude any opportunity that I can to the people that supported the release of the CD. So
there you go, folks. That's you. Yay. Now, your earlier one that you brought by, was this your first one? This first one?
No, I have a... I have more. I'm just really only selling the last three records that I made. The one before the Bird in My Chest is called Mirror the Branches, and recorded that one in Connecticut, so also on the East Coast. All three records I made on the East Coast.
Very cool. Yeah, I was going to say, if that was your first, that's quite a choice to do the book and everything else. You have to see this thing, folks. It's like the size of a 10-inch record with a book inside and everything. It's pretty neat, and I'm looking forward to listening to that. And, sharing it with you folks out there. But yeah, the new one's called If the Static Clears. I also wanted to ask about the big sticker on the back. Did you change the lineup of the songs at some point?
I changed the order, yeah.
The order?
Yeah. Couldn't make up my mind quite. No.
If you want to find out what's underneath, you have to peel off the sticker.
There's no going back once you do that.
It's a big mystery, folks. Just like the Beatles and Yesterday and Today, you don't know what you're going to find.
Well, how about closing it out with a kind of a little bit of a lullaby? This is a song that I wrote for Frida Kahlo and Diego Rivera. I got really interested in Frida after I saw an article about her in the New York Times, because they had recreated her home, her childhood home, Casa Azul from Mexico City. They had kind of recreated it in New York City. And so I saw this beautiful black and white photograph of her, and had been interested in Frida for a long time, but got especially interested in her after I started toying around with watercolor paints and the visual arts. And anyway, that song that I played for you earlier, Fat Man in the Golden Suit, written by Justin Evan Thompson, he and I co-wrote this song together. He was working on this really beautiful guitar melody, and it seemed perfect to kind of set Frida's story to. So we picked up her biography and read about her at great length and kind of just consumed everything that we could find about this woman. And the more that we found, the more interested we were, because she had such an fascinating, almost larger-than-life existence. And she died very young. She died in her mid-40s. Something a lot of people know about Frida Kahlo is that she got in an accident when she was a young woman. So she was in poor health and in and out of hospitals and cast to kind of correct her spine throughout most of her life. And she's known to say that she suffered two accidents in her life, however, and that the first one is her actual accident, and the second one is her marriage to Diego Rivera, which is also known to be quite tumultuous and up and down. And Diego was about 20 years older than Frida when they first met. He was working, already world famous, as a muralist, painting these really politically rich works around the world. And he was commissioned to paint a mural at her high school, preparatory school. And so she used to come around and kind of taunt him from the bottom of his scaffolding while he worked. It was just this terrible little very ornery young woman. But then later on, she got interested in painting herself, and she brought some of her canvases with her and again visited Diego on his scaffolding while he worked. And she just simply called up and demanded that he descend. She said, "Diego, come down here, and I want you to take a look at my art." And he came down because he was known to be very, very kind and generous. And he took a look at her paintings and he encouraged her that they were quite good. She had basically put her fate in his hands and said, "If they're good, I'll keep painting. And if they're bad, then I'm going to quit right now and become a waitress." so he encouraged her. But he was also notoriously good with women. And he got her on a date pretty promptly after that. And which Frida's parents were not very happy about. They said that it was the romance of a dove and a bullfrog, I think they said, or a dove and a toad. And anyway, the story goes, according to Frida and Diego, that when their lips first touched for their first kiss, that it grounded the electricity in the cobblestone streets, and that all of the street lamps dimmed, and that when their lips came apart again, all of the street lamps came on again. And so I thought, well, you know, whether or not this actually happened, who knows? But it's a really good metaphor for the nature of their relationship. They were married and divorced and then remarried again. And Frida's final statement as a painter is a still life of cut red watermelons. And it's called Viva la Vida, which means long live life, more or less. And Diego only lived 3 years after Frida passed away. And his final statement as an artist was also a still life of cut red watermelons. So I thought that was a really beautiful testament to the way that they inspired and kind of danced in and out of each other's realities. But the title of this song is called No Moon at All. And I read in that same New York Times article that it's the title of her final self-portrait.
After Frida, no one ever loved Diego like a fire in a wheat field under a fountain of stars. When they first kissed, the street lamp sparked and dimmed. Sun's lonely milkman daughter, thrown a stone, watched her dance on the water. You've heard her ring in the sky like an old bell, watched her wane to a whitewashed seashell. She turns her head not a that we all live dying. No moon at all. consistía en alegría. The bridal face fills her hair full of flowers, and it reflects in her final hours. No moon at all. Viva la vida.
Oh, that's a cool song.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Gabriel Louise for you here on Out of the Woods. And I believe that wraps things up. Yeah. I'm going to send her on down the road. And looks like the weather's still nice. So that's good.
Clear driving conditions. Yeah, clear flying conditions.
As we were planning for this, we thought we might have some snow. But that hasn't come yet. So there you go. Very nice. Folks, check out her website at GabrielLouise.com. And I'm sure you'll have some dates posted for 2017 before you know it and figure out where you can go see her. She's going to be back in our area coming in May if you're in the New England area. And beyond that, you're going to have to get in touch and figure out what's going on with her. So there you go.
Thank you so much for having me on the show today.
Absolutely. It was great. Thanks. All right, folks. Well, we'll be right back with more great music right after this.